This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. The message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton that you'll hear today is man holding God in contempt. What a message. What a message. I just believe we've gotten away from how you and I treat the Lord, my friend. The unsaved world despises the gospel, despises man, the man of God, despises the Bible. And my friend, we're living in that day the Apostle Paul spoke of, the perilous times will come. We're there today. They talked about the apostasy. We're there today, my friend. Do you tell me, you write me and tell me where you can hear the gospel. You let me know. Let me you know that. Let me know. And the message you'll hear is man holding God in contempt. It's number 359. And I'll give you more information at the close. You stay tuned now, please.
I charge every man out of hell, whether you're awakened or not awakened, that you're guilty and are in contempt of the court of heaven. Every sinner, until he is saved. Or let's put it like this, every sinner, until he is brought to the place of repentance, holds God in contempt. You may be ignorant of that charge, or it may be slowly dawning upon you that you're guilty of contempt as you stand before the bar of God's justice. My friend, you say you're saved. Have you ever stood before God realizing you're guilty of holding God Himself in contempt? If not, you have not been pardoned. And you're not, and you're yet in your sins and holding God in contempt. One of our evangelists over the air, in speaking on evangelism, said, "My wife is saved, I know she is. She doesn't know when she was saved, but all of her life she's been trusting Christ." That's not salvation. That's not salvation at all. If there never comes a crisis in your life when you realize that you are in rebellion against God, you hate God, you say, "I don't." Every sinner does. Listen, Daniel 12:2, we find these words. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Look at that word contempt, and notice the fact that it is everlasting contempt. The sinner who is not repented here on this earth holds God in contempt. And if he never repents, he will die in that condition, be raised in that condition, and live throughout eternity in that condition. You stand in contempt of the court of heaven here, and you'll be raised in that contempt of the court of heaven and God on the throne. The eternal state of every man is fixed at death. You get that? The sinner who dies in Christ will live throughout eternity justified by the death of Christ and His righteousness. The sinner who dies without Christ will live throughout eternity in the spiritual condition in which he dies. There's no change of an individual after death. Now, what does that word contempt mean? What is it that God is charging every sinner out of hell with when he says that you abide in contempt of the court of heaven? You stand in contempt to Jehovah God on the throne, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen, and exalted as Lord and Christ. That word contempt, now you get it, means low, worthless, or beneath notice, something to be thrust away from you. Now that's what you think of Christ in your rebellion. It means disrespect, scorn, the state of being despised. Now why does God thrust the sinner from him. It is because any sinner who holds God in contempt or disrespect or disregards and lightly esteems God and His word, His counsel, His judgment, His mercy is low, mean, worthless. It is because he shows disrespect for the authority and dignity of the court of heaven and the God on the throne. It means he puts his will up against the authority of God. This means anarchy. And anarchy means he's a rebel and is in treason against God. This means he's a disobedient individual and stands condemned on the charge of disobedience or being a rebel against the authority of God for holding God in contempt. The sinner's place is at the feet of Christ in the dust of repentance as the obedient individual. If rebellion is never broken, if the sinner never sees that he's guilty of contempt of the court of heaven and sees that he ought to be punished in hell for his contempt, he'll never fall at the feet of Christ in repentance, crying for mercy. Awaken, sinner. You stand there as a rebel before the court of God's justice. You hold God in contempt because you've never been broken at his feet as a repentant sinner. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you never repent, you'll remain in contempt to God. You will stay right where you are in a state of death and deadness, and you'll mistake the absence of conviction for salvation and build your superstructure. Without repentance is not saving faith. Now get that again. You will mistake the absence of conviction for salvation and build your superstructure on a foundation of false faith, because faith without repentance is not saving faith. Get this one fact. When you balk on admitting that the Holy Spirit is showing you, or you pitch your will and refuse to bend in obedience to him, no matter where he crosses your will, the Holy Spirit stops convicting you, and he will not go one step further until your will is broken on that point. Get this one truth, if you don't get anything else. The Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When God crosses your will, he does it by putting the Lord Jesus Christ in your path as a stumbling stone. Now get this truth. You don't get grace to come over the stumbling stone. Oh, no. You fall upon him, and your will is broken. You are broken. I don't care what the Lord Jesus Christ crosses your will over. You don't come over it. You break and fall at the feet, at his feet, in the dust and ashes of repentance. Now, did you get that? Many a person has said to me, oh, I've had to exercise all the grace to come over this thing, or come over that thing. You don't come over it. You fall on Christ, and is broken in repentance. The sinner who manages to come over the stumbling stone, get this, and is never broken, will one day be ground to powder by the judgment committed into the hands of the Son of God. Christ crossing your will brings out all the contempt in your heart against God, against his word, and against his authority. How many sinners have I heard say and cry out and say, what have I done, brother? What have I done, pastor? Brother, it is not what you've done. It is your attitude toward the authority of God. You have set your will up against the will of God, and there can be no two wills in the universe. If you had your way, you would overthrow the courts of the of heaven. That's what Satan tried to do, and God thrust him out. Many awakened sinner have said to me, Brother Sheldon, I've done all that I can do, and still I'm not saved. Why? Brother, there's nothing you can do. That's rebellion against God, because God has not accepted what you have done. There's not one sin you can give up that will merit favor in the sight of God. You are a rebel. You have lived in contempt of the courts of heaven. And the only position that you can take is to ask God to have mercy on you for Christ's sake. You have to take your place as a broken, hell-deserving sinner in the dust of repentance, seeing and acknowledging that God ought to send you to hell for being such a rebel and daring to pit your will against God's will. The sinner who never sees and acknowledges that is never brought to the place where God can have mercy on him. Your will must be broken. That is the place of repentance. Have you been utterly broken at the feet of Christ? Have you repented? If not, your faith is spurious, empty, vain, false. If not, your faith is a fleshly faith, and it manifests itself in a voluntary humility or a false humility. Contempt of God is the sin that caused Lucifer to fall. Lucifer, the anointed cherub, came to the place that he held God in contempt or rebelled against God's will and authority. The only thing God could do was to cast him out of his presence and put him under condemnation and judgment. Contempt of the authority of God led to the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed his command. And the only thing Jehovah God could do was to drive out the rebels from the garden. Today, the whole human race stands in contempt to the authority of God, except God's elect. And unless they repent, that is, are brought to see and to feel and to know the weight and enormity of their sins, their crime of rebellion against God, they'll never know the mercy of God in repentance. Every sin of the human heart is an expression or manifestation of the contempt for God. One day King Saul was ordered to put every inhabitant in the land of Amalek to death. This order came from the court of heaven through the prophet Samuel. After the battle, when he came back to meet Samuel, the old prophet of God asked him the question, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle? King Saul was charged with a sin of contempt of the authority of God. He put his will, his opinion, up against the word of God, and God rejected him as king over Israel and left him to go the way to destruction. It makes no difference what you do. There's nothing that can compensate for your sin of contempt against the authority of God. That's a heart condition, and God will have naught but a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise. Ask God to break your heart, sinner. How can such a rebel be delivered from the contemptible state in which he finds himself? This contempt grows out of a hostile spirit, which is prejudiced against the one he hates. Prejudice blinds an individual's mind until he can see nothing good about the object of his hatred. If you hate me, you can see nothing good in me. Well, you say there isn't. You can't see. You hate me. You're prejudiced against me. You want to destroy me. That's your attitude toward God. Now then, how then can man who is enmity toward God ever come and humble himself down at the feet begging for mercy and forgiveness in a kindly and meek attitude? Impossible. It is impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. Repentance is that change of attitude toward God that causes the individual to freely and openly acknowledge the excellency of God in his person, in his work of redemption, in his love, mercy, long-suffering, to spare him in such a transgression against him as he is guilty of. Now here's where most of us are not willing to come, not willing to the place of repentance. When that resistance is broken down against God, only then can saving faith be exercised, which freely receives what God has freely given. When you try to lay hold of Christ and believe him, trust him, without changing your attitude of hostility to God and his authority, you are committing highway robbery. You take a promise and declare that God can't lie, and he's got to fulfill his word, but you haven't repented. If God were to save you in that attitude, you would take his gift and go on your rebellion against him, having your own way, doing as you pleased, and so on. God doesn't work like that. No, he doesn't. If you have never repented, those promises are not for you, and you can't claim them except in the face of God, that he will break your stubborn will and change your attitude toward God. Salvation is knowing Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, let every mouth be stopped, and the whole world become guilty before God. Again he said, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may do what? That I may win Christ. Salvation is receiving a pardon from the one you have held in contempt. Have you been pardoned? You cannot find Christ and know him until you meet him. And you can only meet Christ in repentance, and the place where your hostility and prejudice and self-will are all laid aside, and you come to him in the right attitude, asking for a pardon. No sinner will do this until he sees that God is right and he's wrong. And you don't admit that until you do see it. Father, you can't see it because your eyes blinded by Satan until the Holy Spirit shows it to you. No salvation is knowing Christ. So salvation is knowing Christ, knowing yourself, knowing Christ And this by revelation from the Holy Spirit. Christ, salvation comes by revelation. Now you get that. Any man who can go back and say, here's where I believed, and here's where I was saved, is not saved. Salvation comes by revelation. Now you let that soak in. Man is dead. He is so devoid of all spiritual life that he has nothing in common, no starting point to begin his search for God. Only the tender, wooing, patient, long-suffering Spirit of Christ can teach that sinner anything about himself or about Christ. Not only does he have such a heart of unbelief, but you can picture the blessings of the atonement wrought out on the cross in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they're hidden from him. He can't see them. He can't feel them. He can never know them and enter into them apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the Word. Therefore, the blessings of blood redemption in Christ mean nothing to the sinner who is blind, helpless, without strength, dead, hopeless, unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to him. Christ said in John 3:27, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The light can only shine into the heart as the sinner, on the one hand, knows himself by revelation, and on the other hand, he knows Christ by revelation. There's no light apart from the negative and positive poles. Just so there's no spiritual light except the positive and negative side of salvation. Repentance is the negative side of the knowledge of salvation. Faith is the positive. Repentance is a convicted, convinced sinner admitting that he has nothing to offer God. Faith is a convinced sinner admitting that Christ has done everything for salvation and God is satisfied. You learn repentance equally as well as you learn faith. And all of God's children are taught of the Lord. God takes the initiative in every sinner's salvation by coming to him in the person of the Holy Spirit and revealing to him the truth about himself and then the truth about Christ. When he knows the truth, they said, if not until you know the truth will you come to know him as a beggar. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Knowing the truth and then knowing Christ, that's salvation. Knowing the truth about yourself and knowing Christ, that's salvation. The religious world today as a whole is trying to produce life and light in Christ only by preaching the positive side of salvation, that is faith. But that is impossible. There is no electrician who can produce light without a positive. That is a hot wire. He has to have the negative wire to complete the circuit. Then there is no light unless you have a light globe to make it manifest. The sinner is the globe that manifests the light of heaven. That is the reason false professors don't understand believers. They live in the dark because they do not have the negative revelation of a total depraved sinner that they are. Christ said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. When the sinner sees his own heart as it really is under the Holy Spirit conviction, he sees his lost, undone, ruined condition, and the Holy Spirit brings that sinner to repentance. That is to take his place before God as such a sinner with all rebellion broken. His one desire is after the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants him in all of his fullness. It is completeness. He wants him as Lord to rule over him. Wants him as master, as his king, as his priest to secure his pardon, to wash him, to cleanse him. in his own blood. He wants him as Christ, the anointed one, his God, to deliver him from the power of Satan, the power of sin, and make him in his own image. That repenting sinner's one desire is Christ in his completeness. He would not want him otherwise, from just to be saved from hell. No, that isn't what the sinner wants. He wants Christ. He does not want him to rule over him. Yes, he does. He wants him to rule over him. He wants him to be his Lord and Master. Therefore, there can be no salvation in such preaching of faith only. Have you ever taken your place as a sinner, as a lost sinner, as a repenting sinner? Have you ever admitted that you live in contempt of God? Do you?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard today was Man Holding God in Contempt. It's by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., who was the founder and the pastor of Radio Mission there in Algiers, New Orleans, many years ago, and gone on now to be with the Lord. And we still air his broadcast because we know it's the truth, it's the gospel. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to be with us each week at this same time. And we'd be glad to send you these messages in booklet form, free and postpaid. And we'll send you a title list on your request of all of his messages. You can write and get them with free. And you can give them out in the nursing home, the drugstore, the hospital, wherever you go. I know you do that thing. And then we have people all over America, cold porters, we call them. They go in the bus station, they have a rack there, and they put out booklets, give them up and down the street, folks that are interested. And we get response from those people. And then we are now on Radio Missions Radio, which is a worldwide radio 24 hours a day. We hear from folks all over the country. We're on shortwave station, WWCR, out of Nashville, Tennessee. And we just praise the Lord for every opportunity he gives us. And we ask you to help us. Be a co-porter for us. You old truckers out there on the highway, get these booklets and give them out in the break room when you go in there and get a hot cup of coffee and a sandwich. And do that for me, if you would. I appreciate it. And the Bible tells us to be up and about our Father's business. If you know the Lord or want to know the Lord, be a co-porter for us here and give out the gospel. We know it's the truth. And I can't get out and give all these booklets out, but many of you folks can. But remember, the message was Man Holding God in Contempt by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., and it was number 359, and we'd be glad to send it to you, free and postpaid, and many others if you'd like. And also, pray for us. Would you do that? Not only help us financially, but pray for us. We need your prayers. Our folks here, the brethren who go out to the mission places for me and help me on Sunday and Sunday night, other night, and our workers here at the bookstore and at the office, we need your prayers. Remember, my phone number here, air code 225-664-8658. Goodbye and God bless you.